It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Buckle up, ladies and gentlemen, we've got an extravaganza coming your way. And Liz Peek's going to be here. Senator Marsha Blackburn is going to be joining us from our Memphis studios. I saw someone earlier today vacuuming our palatial facility here in East Memphis. So that's exciting. Also, this crazy story, that is it's the lead story on Fox News, but you saw it first on my Newsmax TV show yesterday. This story out of Seattle, where the mayor of Seattle is basically out there saying, the Christians got what they deserved when they were beaten and attacked by these anarchists that were in a park in Seattle, Washington. Pastor Russell Johnson is going to be with us. They had a huge rally yesterday calling for the mayor of Seattle to resign. So we'll be talking to him a little bit later on. But I want to start with something that literally just landed in my lap. And this is going to be a surprise for all of you folks. There's somebody calling for my arrest, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I'm just a lovable curmudgeon on the radio, but I have apparently offended the far-left sensibilities of a writer at the Wichita Eagle. Caw, caw. I think that's what an eagle sounds like. Yeah, there's so yesterday, let me set the story up for you. So over the weekend, there are a bunch of radical leftists in Wichita, and these people are all, you've seen the protest all over America, right? I mean, most of them are very old people. Many of them are, using wheelchairs and walkers, and it's not a very diverse crowd. They're a lot of wrinkled white folk, and they're out there standing on their street corners. We've got them here in Memphis. And one of the things I love to do is whenever I'm – and there's a certain intersection. I shouldn't admit to doing this. But I love revving my engine because they're always at the stoplight, right? And unfortunately for me, I don't have, you know, I don't have a lot of black exhaust smoke coming out, but I wish I did. And then I roll down the window and I just keep yelling, get a job! Get a job! Take a bath, lady! And then I move on after the light turns green. You don't want to hold up traffic. But anyway, they've got these kinds of protests. But the one in Wichita, Kansas, was especially disgusting. And the reason why is you had these people out there. And again, these are the woke feminazi libtard types. And these libtards are out there. And they're chanting 8647. 86, I mean, these they are literally calling for the assassination of Donald Trump. Again, hearkening back to James Comey walking hand in hand with his wife on the beach when they suddenly came upon these seashells by the seashore that spelled out 8647. We don't know how they got there. Well, that's what he said. I don't believe him. Anyway, this crowd, and I warned people at the time, if you don't do something about this, then by golly, you're going to just open up Pandora's box. And we didn't realize, but Pandora lives in Wichita, Kansas. So you've got all of these people out there, and they're shouting and chanting. Some guy showed up with a severed head of Donald Trump. The guy's walking around with a severed head of Donald Trump. Who does that? And by the way, if that had been a severed head of Barack Hussein Obama, they would have burned Wichita to the ground. I'm just saying. I just tell it like it is on this program. So anyway, we told the story, and I wrote a column about it on ToddStearns.com, which you can read, and I posted video, which you can see on my website. And so then this moron, Dion Leffler from the Wichita Eagle, he wrote an attack piece on yours truly. And he said that the protesters did nothing wrong and that the only person who should be arrested is yours truly, Todd Starnes, for exposing all of this. So I want to read this to you. And apparently this guy is a sleazeball. And we're going to share his contact information so you can give him a piece of your mind in just a moment. He posted his number publicly. And so I feel obligated at least to share his telephone number with you. Anyway, this guy, his name is Dion. Is it Dion or Dion? Dion Leffler. And he's writing, right-wingers of Wichita want protesters arrested for chanting 8647 on Saturday. He loves using that term, right-wingers. I'm not sure who this guy's editor is, but he needs one. He went over there and he attacked our beloved affiliate, KQAM, the Big Talker in Wichita, Kansas. And look, you can say what you want to about me, but you don't come after our radio affiliates. You don't do that, sir. And if you do, it is on like Donkey Kong. It is on like Donkey Kong, sir. Anyway, I continue. He goes on to write, attacks our good friend Andy Hoosier, who's filled in here. Of course, Andy is based out of Wichita at KQAM. He went after Dalton Glasscock, who runs my company and has done a terrific job of turning this into a very successful company. Dalton wrote in saying, and he said, this is sickening. By the way, Dalton is a member of the Wichita City Council. Very well-respected person in that town. He said, this is sickening. All threats made against the president should be taken seriously by law enforcement. And then he goes on. And you see, I understand this guy is a sleazeball because, you know, if he wants to come after me, all right, fine, come after me, pal. But he throws Glasscock into it because, you know, he wants to get the licks in here. The calls for arrest went nationally courtesy of a post on X by right-wing commentator provocateur Todd Starnes. That's me, by the way. Glasscock is the CEO of Starnes Production Company, which was widely shared in the MAGA mediascape. And then he shared what I wrote. He did get the quote correct, which is a low bar for people like this. Starnes followed up on his website with this. Over the weekend, dozens of protesters in Wichita, Kansas clogged downtown sidewalks chanting Comey's slogan. And no surprise, but no one was arrested. Not a single person was arrested for threatening the president of the United States. Watch video of the violence below. And then the guy goes on to write, he goes, I watched the video. There was no violence. If anyone here should face charges, it ought to be Starnes for false advertising. The guy goes on to write, no punches were thrown, no windows were broken, no one's video equipment was smashed, nothing was stolen. No, sir, you had people calling for the president of the freaking United States of America to be assassinated. What is wrong with you, you moron pinhead? I have no idea why the Wichita Eagle would employ someone like this. Call. I don't know. Anyway, this guy, Dion Leffler, who provides his telephone number here. Should I share the telephone number? I mean, it's in the newspaper. It's right there for everybody to see at the end of the story. And it's got his little email thing there, but he literally lists his phone number. Should we share the phone number? Cassie, I don't know. Should we share? Maybe we should ask the audience if we should share this guy's telephone number. It seems to me, now, I personally would not do that because I get enough calls as is. But it just seems to me that if you're going to post your name and your email address and your phone number after your story, that means you want people to call and say, howdy do. And we have a very hospitable audience, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. So this guy goes on, and here's what he has to say about Dalton and Andy Hoosier and, you know, all of us who are in the conservative sphere who believe it is wrong to call for the assassination of a president. So let the blowhard, you know what? I don't know how this guy talks, and I don't want to give him too much credit, but the guy's name is Dion. So let's go back here, and we're going to go back and read this from Dion Leffler of the Wichita Eagle. Caw, caw. So let the blowhards blow and the bloviators bloviate. Nothing illegal happened at the corner of Douglas and Broadway on Saturday afternoon. We supposedly live in a country where we elect our leaders who are required to govern us within the bounds of a constitution that guarantees freedom of speech and the freedom to assemble and protest. That's what the U.S. Constitution means when it guarantees all Americans a Republican little r form of government. The day anyone gets arrested in Wichita or anyone else for standing on a public sidewalk, waving a sign and griping about Donald Trump is the day the Republican Party is Republican in name only. Signed, Dion Leffler of the Wichita Eagle. Caw, caw.
Well, there you go. I just got a text from a Wichita listener. They said, he really is a nerd. He sounds like that.
I do not.
I don't know. Your audience has spoken, Dion. They know of you. I don't know who you are. I don't have a clue who you are, sir. So anyway, should we give out the... Cassie, I don't know. I want to be nice. Cassie, you're a sweet, kind, good-natured person. I don't know if I should be asking you if we should... Because you're... I don't know. He did disparage the host of this radio program, but more so Dalton. Poor Glasscock and Andy Hoosier, they didn't ask for this. Dion Leffler of the Wichita. Does anybody even read? And that's the other thing. Nobody even actually reads this newspaper, from what I understand. I hear the subscriptions are in the toilet. I mean, and with that kind of writing, I understand why. I hope they're not paying this guy. That's terrible. Anyway, all you folks in Wichita, and by the way, the folks at KQM, they carry our show on delay. Otherwise, the phones will be lighting up from Wichita right now. And I know that because after our show airs, that's when we start getting the calls from Wichita. So anyway, there you go, folks. Andy Hoosier, you stand strong, sir, and don't mind this moron. And Glasscock, you know, Glasscock, he was like, look, you know, they love to do this. They love to smear. And that's what they do. That's what they do. But I want to say something about Dion Leffler and all these other folks at this newspaper. Who do you people think you are? You've got folks out there standing on a sidewalk holding a severed head of Donald Trump. Other images of Donald Trump with, like, things that are plunged into his body. You got people chanting 8647. Calling for the president to be assassinated? And you think that's covered, that's protected under the U.S. Constitution? Who do you think you are? Because I can promise you this. If those protesters have been out there and doing that with Barack Obama, you guys will be spitting fire. And by the way, as well you should, because we are talking about elected leaders, and we're also talking about a president, Donald J. Trump, who has survived not one but two assassination attempts, due in no small part, I believe, to this violent rhetoric coming out of these left-wing organizations and being justified by news organizations across America, including the Wichita Eagle.
Caw, caw.
We got to take a break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, I'm not going to give the, should I don't think I should give the guy the time of day here. But the number, his telephone number is here at the end of the column if you guys want to go check it out. And you can give Mr. Leffler some thoughts and prayers. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
As you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. Now, he didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Mike created the best bed sheets ever. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Now, Mike is offering the best deal on his Giza Dream bed sheets. Any size, any color, just $49.98. That's right. You can even get the Queens, Kings, Split Kings, and Cal Kings. Any size, any color, just $49.98. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. Also, for a limited time, when you order over $100 in merch, you're going to get $100 in free digital gifts. Call 1-800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS or go to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code STARNS for the amazing offer of $49.98 on the Giza Dream Sheets, any size, any color. That number again, 1-800-839-8506, promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Jeez, hello. These people. Wow, we've got some interesting audio here. And you know, it's funny with AI and ChatGPT and all of that kind of nonsense. You just never know if something is authentic, but unfortunately, this is authentic. So Elon Musk is going to be on CBS Sunday Morning. Remember that with Charles Kuralt? That was always a weird show. It was sort of like, I don't know, cathartic for a lot of people. You just had like, you know, 2 minutes of birds chirping in the woods. And, you know, it was interesting TV. Anyway, Elon was on Sunday Morning, or this, and it will be broadcast on June 1st. And Elon is upset at President Trump and this big, beautiful bill. I want you to listen to what Elon had to tell CBS, and we have authenticated this.
I was, like, disappointed to see the massive spending bill, frankly, which increases the budget deficit, not just decrease it, and undermines the work that the DOGE team is doing.
I actually thought that when this big, beautiful bill came along, I mean, like, everything he's done on DOGE gets wiped out in the first year.
I think a bill can be big, or it can be beautiful. But I don't know if it can be both. My personal opinion.
So this is the challenge that a lot of folks are facing right now with trying to get behind this. And look, President Trump wants the big, beautiful bill, and I've been on the record saying Trump should get what he wants. That being said, I think you need to understand something about this big, beautiful bill. Even if they wanted to include DOGE cuts in this bill, they would not be allowed to. Senate rules would not allow them to cut any sort of discretionary spending. So it's a nuance that is getting lost in all the coverage. The bigger story, though, it's really not about the big, beautiful bill, even though it is going to add or increase the deficit by $3.8 trillion. Let's set that aside for just a moment. The bigger issue is why the House Republicans have yet to codify any of these DOGE cuts. What are they waiting for? Now, MTG put out a statement earlier today, and she says that word is that some of the DOGE cuts are going to be codified starting on Monday. And I am glad to hear that, but again, there's been nothing confirmed here. So, ladies and gentlemen, my question to you, are you getting a little nervous here? Are you getting a little concerned about the House not following through on the president's agenda? I'm just going to say this as best as I can, as best as I know how, ladies and gentlemen. But if the Republicans don't start cutting spending, the American voters are going to cut Republicans in the midterm elections. I mean, it really is that simple. So we're trying to help the Republicans out here by saying, guys, you know, we've been very forgiving in the past. We were very forgiving during the first 2 years of the Trump administration. Again, we were in a similar situation. Republicans controlled the House and the Senate, and nothing got done. Nothing at all. And then the Republicans got punished in the midterms, and the next thing you know, Trump is being impeached. Let me tell you something. Jasmine Crockett's already out there saying she will, if after the midterms, she will lead the effort in the House to impeach Donald Trump. It's going to be the same story, different year. That's what we're looking at here. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to open up the phone lines here. What do you want the Republicans to do? Do they need to start codifying these DOGE cuts? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right. I want to let you know again, Senator Marsha Blackburn is going to be joining us here in the next hour. Also, Liz Peek from Fox News is going to drop by as well. And some very exciting news for you, and we're excited to be able to announce this today, that our publisher has worked out. We are getting so many orders for books coming in, and our publisher has been able to set aside, I think he was able to get as many as 500 copies of Star Spangled Blessings. And if you go to our website, toddstearns.com, right now and click on our store, you will be able to purchase a signed copy of Star Spangled Blessings Devotions for Patriots. This is going to be a very limited time offer. As a matter of fact, you can get those books between now and June the 4th. And the reason why is we've got to do a quick turnaround so we can get them to you. So if you actually order through us, you're going to get the book before anybody else in America. But I will be personally signing and inscribing these books. And we have a very limited number. And again, all of this will end on June the 4th. So just a couple of days away here. Go to toddstearns.com, click on our store, and you will see the order form. It's a great opportunity. We're really thankful that our publisher did this. And it's just something that we can do for all of the great listeners of the radio show. The name of the book, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. And we're very excited about the enthusiasm surrounding this book project. So again, going back to Elon and what Elon is saying, Elon is discouraged. Elon has been working his tail off, and he's been out there working day and night with his team to go through and find not just the wasteful spending, but also criminal fraud. I mean, there is so much fraud, and we need to be prosecuting all of this. And we're just getting radio silence right now from the FBI, the DOJ. Nobody's really talking about this at all. And it could be that they're all working behind the scenes, and I hope they are. But you would think for such a transparent administration that they would be out there saying, okay, here's what we're doing. We have found, for example, we have found all of these people that are over the age of 150 and they're still getting Social Security checks. Well, it turns out those checks are really going to some guy who's 35. Okay, well, has that guy been arrested? Has he been charged? That's all we're asking. You know, what are we doing to stop all of this? And what are we doing to punish the people that are responsible for the fraud? So Elon, on top of all of this, Elon has been so devoted to the America First agenda that he's been out there and his business has suffered. His dealerships are being set on fire. People who own his cars are being targeted for attacks and vandalism and all sorts of horrible things. And if you're Elon and you're seeing what's happening in Congress right now, you're like, okay, dude, I'm done here. He is slowly but surely. If you remember, just think about over the past couple of weeks. Very rarely have you seen Elon hanging around the White House. I mean, he pretty much set up office there, right next to the president, and he's not there anymore. And I think Elon is discouraged. I think a lot of conservatives are discouraged by the lack of action when it comes to DOGE. And my question at the end of the day, what was the point of it all? What was the point? I mean, I'm glad that we have exposed the fact that we were turning little mice into, you know, transgender freaks. But the reality is, what are we doing about it? I mean, the rat community, I'm sure, would love to know, you know, they're down there minding their own business, eating a slice of pizza in the New York City subway. Carl the rat, and the next thing you know, he's Charlene. I mean, I wouldn't wish that on any rat. So people are just, they're a little perplexed, I think is a fair word. And we'll ask Senator Marsha Blackburn about this because, again, the big problem here is, yes, the big, beautiful bill has passed the House, but it has not passed the Senate yet. And Senator Ron Johnson says, not going to happen. It's not going to be able to get through. It's just not going to be able to get through. So we'll be taking your calls on that. 901-260-5926. That's our number. That's 901-260-5926. I have a question for you. The Democrats have a problem. It's a big problem. And they're flummoxed, to be perfectly blunt about it. They are flummoxed. So they went through the last election cycle, and they figured out, we've been crapping on men for so long that they left the party. I mean, the Democrats have gone out of their way to blame men for every single problem on the planet. And it's not just, white guys, but no, I'm talking about just guys in general. I mean, the Democrats don't like white people anyway, but that just set that aside. I mean, it doesn't matter if they're black, Hispanic, Asian. They just don't like dudes at all. And as near as I can tell, the Democrats, at least the female Dems, the feminazis, they believe that the only purpose for men is to procreate. I mean, that's it. And so now they've come to the realization, now that Kamala got her boudet handed to her, that they actually do need men. And they're like, oh, gosh, so what do we do? So, and by the way, Kamala realized this when she was picking a vice presidential running mate. And that was the whole reason that they got Tim Walz, because they wanted a football coach. Remember, he was the football coach. A man's man. I know, I'm telling you. And so I suspect the Democrats were shocked with what they got with Tim Walz, because they were thinking, like, I don't know, Bear Bryant, Tommy Tuberville, and instead they got Coach Tim Walz. Hello! Hello, everyone! Doing the jazz hands. Who knew that out of all the football coaches in all the locker rooms, they had the guy who was most comfortable on the Broadway stage? Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying it's I mean, there are a lot of, look, you've got to be a man to do a lot of those dance moves up on Broadway. You do. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying with the jazz hands, that's always a little okay. You know, you go to a Dude Perfect show, you're not going to see guys doing jazz hands, right? Am I? You know what I'm talking about. I'm not being, you know, inconsiderate. I'm not a homophobe. This is nothing about homophobia. So anyway, they got Tim Walz, and Tim Walz is, you know, he comes out there and he's like he's doing ballet moves on the stage and doing that weird thing with his feet and his legs and the jazz hands, and he talks about the intimate moments in the locker room with the boys football team. It was a little off-putting. And I'm not alleging anything at all. I'm just saying it was just weird. His tellings of the stories were just a little weird, a little off. But they said, you know what? This is our coach. He's our coach, and we love him. So anyway, they got slaughtered. And we all know how the story turned. So now they've spent $20 million. So the Democrats spent $20 million, and they wanted to have this big confab. So they got all these people together, and they're trying to figure out, okay, how do we reach the Dude Perfect crowd? How do we get those guys, those dudes, the man's man? How do we get those guys who watch football and mixed martial arts, and they grow beards and have facial hair and chest hair? How do we get those guys to vote Democrat? So they get together in this luxury high-end hotel, and they spend $20 million to try to figure out how to connect with young men. That's what they did. They actually, we actually have the name of the study. They commissioned a study called SAM. The acronym is SAM, S-A-M, Speaking with American Men, a Strategic Plan. That, wait, what? They're missing some letters. S-W-A-M, SWAM, SWAM app. Okay, that's weird. So they're calling it SAM. But again, for years, you had people like AOC and Hillary Rodham Clinton and Jasmine Crockett, and they have shoved men to the back of the Democrat Party bus. I mean, that's what they've done. There's no place for you in this party. And at some point, the Democrats decided that manliness was best defined by Dylan Mulvaney sipping a Bud Light while Tim Walz and Little David Hogg sang Broadway show tunes in the back of Rosie O'Donnell's Subaru. But I got to tell you, and my hat is off to you men of the Democrat Party, because even guys who vote Democrat, they can only put up with so much screeching and yammering, right? And that's ultimately why so many of them actually voted for Donald Trump. I'm just telling you, could you imagine being a man and being married to a Democrat woman? I wouldn't wish that on anybody. I wouldn't wish that on Tim Walz. I'm just telling you. So anyway, it just seems to me the solution is pretty simple here. If you really want to reach men of America as a politician, you got to be honest and you got to be the real deal. You know, the interesting thing about Donald Trump, and I don't know, Tim Walz may be the real deal. He may very well prance around the locker room doing jazz hands and, you know, hitting guys on the backside with wet towels. I mean, that may be him. I don't think it is. I hope it's not, but it may be. But you know what, with Donald Trump, what you see on stage is what you get in real life. That's it. Remember Willard Mitt Romney down trying to eat the fried chicken and the grits, and he took the skin off the fried chicken? It was so outrageous that Governor Mike Huckabee at the time called a press conference, a national press conference, to condemn Mitt Romney for desecrating the gospel bird, the fried chicken. As the governor correctly stated to America, the only part of the bird worth actually eating is the skin, and Mitt Romney discarded it. And then the second cardinal sin, he ate his fried chicken with a knife and fork. And Mitt Romney lost the election. It's authenticity. That's what it's really about. Authenticity, ladies and gentlemen. So I say this, the solution here is pretty simple. And I could have saved the Democrats a whole heck of a lot of money. And by the way, we could have gone down to the Hampton Inn and we could have gotten the all-you-can-eat free breakfast, and I would have saved them a whole heck of a lot of money. Here it is. If you really want to bring men into your party, guys would rather hang out with fellows who have a backyard grill and a state-of-the-art man cave instead of the purple-haired vegan feminist who get triggered by our masculinity. No, Cassie, that's it. No, that's it. No, there's no A, B, or C. It's just, that's it. I'm just, no, there's no jazz hands. I'm just telling you, that's it. That's it. Let's go to Gary in Daytona Beach, Florida, listening to us on WOC. Gary, I mean, that's pretty much it. What do you think? Do we need to add anything to what I just said?
Well, first of all, they can save a lot of money because you won't have many people at the conference because between one or two of the Supreme Court justices, several senators and congressmen and women and the Democratic side, they have no definition of a man. So I don't know how they're going to get a forum on how to speak to men when if you pin them down and ask them a definition, they pass. They run for the hills.
Gary, this is a fair point. They really don't even know. Well, they don't know what women are, so we have to extrapolate from that, saying they would not know what a man is. It's a fair argument.
Absolutely. The president of Harvard. Different people have been asked, and they pass on that. So I think the forum at their palace that they want to rent out there is going to, unless Pete Buttigieg, maybe they'll get Pete to teach him how to speak to a man. Who knows?
Well, I mean, and Pete May, I mean, they're not chest feeding the children they bought anymore. So, I mean, he is now available to get out there, I guess, and get out on the speaking circuit again. Oh, wait a second. Gary, hold on. I got to play this for you. We actually have Pete Buttigieg was actually talking about this. And here's, do we have the audio? Let's go to Buttigieg, and here's what he had to say about men.
Of course we should be talking about how, if Speaker Johnson got his way, it wouldn't be possible, not just for gay people to get married, but for straight people to get divorced, let alone like birth control or how he would want to regulate porn or whatever people, most people would have a problem with.
So anyway, Buttigieg is saying, well, you know, if we really want to attract men to the party, we've got to embrace gay marriage and porn. That's Pete Buttigieg.
Oh, man. I swear. No, they're going to have a hard time. If that, I'd like to be in on that $20 million. I could use some of that money, but, it's going to be a short conference.
I need some of that money to buy the Ford F-150 pickup truck so I could do a couple of drive-bys, and I'll honk the horn. I'll get the Dixie. I'll get like the Dukes of Hazzard, the General Lee horn. That'll really trigger the protesters.
Yeah, they're making the V8 engine now. They're closing down the EV plant.
God, I can't handle the battery-powered cars. All right, Gary, thank you for that. So, geez, Alou. Yeah, it's a quandary for the Democrats, and I think they've lost the men of America. I really do, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Republican Party, where men are men and women are women, and the children say yes, sir, and no, sir, and they're not little godless heathens. That's the Republican Party. Got to take a break. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, folks. Welcome back. By the way, Senator Rick Scott out of Florida is going to be a no vote right now on the big beautiful bill. And again, there are two separate issues here. And this is going to be even hard for a lot of folks in the conservative media. But there's a little bit of nuance. Actually, there's a lot of nuance here. And you just need to understand that the reason why the DOGE cuts are not in the big beautiful bill is because they cannot be. The issue is, and two issues, big beautiful bill, pass it, get it done. The other issue involves the DOGE cuts themselves and whether or not those have been codified. So anyway, Senator Rick Scott was on Maria Bartiromo over at Fox Business, and she's going at it, and she's trying to hold, and again, Bartiromo keeps, pushing, and finally she said, why are you not supporting this? She goes, I want specifics. You brought up DOGE. If you're so interested in DOGE, why did you and your colleagues not codify into law the DOGE cuts? This is a great question. And Scott says, well, we haven't had the opportunity to vote on it in the Senate. I clearly would codify the DOGE cuts. I don't know why the House didn't do that. So again, it's, folks, they're playing ping pong here, and you and I are going to get screwed. But the person who's going to get screwed the most is Donald J. Trump, because the Republicans, they play this game here, they're going to lose. And it just, I'm getting the feeling, and I don't want to go there yet. I don't want to go there yet, but it just seems to me that somebody in charge of the House of Representatives does not want Donald Trump's plan to succeed. Somebody's holding it all up, and I want to know who that person is. I have my suspicions. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you with us today. Thank you for joining us. Well, we have a lot going on this hour of the program. Liz Peek is going to be here in just a moment. Also, Senator Marsha Blackburn will be joining us live in studio. She is in Memphis to tour Elon Musk's big data center that's under construction. Really incredible story about how Memphis and the Mid-South are really becoming the Silicon Valley of the South. So we'll be talking to Senator Marsha Blackburn in just a moment. Also, Pastor Russell Johnson, he is right in the throes of controversy involving the mayor of Seattle, Washington. It is the lead story on Fox News. So we're going to be talking with him about what happened yesterday and why he believes the mayor of Seattle should resign. But I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, the great columnist and writer, Liz Peek. Liz, hope you're doing well today.
I am doing great. Thank you for having me.
You know, Liz, I was right before the break, we were talking about Maria Bartiromo's interview with Senator Rick Scott, who right now is a no vote on the big, beautiful bill. And she really pressed him on the DOGE cuts, which cannot actually be a part of that bill. The Senate rules don't allow it. But she pushed back and said, well, okay, well, how come you guys aren't codifying these DOGE cuts? And he places the blame directly on the House of Representatives. Liz, I just think this is a dangerous game the Republicans are playing here.
I could not agree more. I think it's the most disheartening thing in the world that all this effort and this coming together of these brilliant people, and really Elon Musk is probably the only guy who could have assembled this brain trust to look at our federal budget. I mean, you know, Todd, how can anybody on either side of the aisle not be in favor of getting rid of, for example, fraudulent payments made by Social Security, Medicare, whatever? I mean, you're not going after the meat and potatoes of entitlement systems if you're trying to root out people gaming the system. And I don't mean people inadvertently taking two paychecks instead of one by mistake or whatever. These things happen. I'm talking about people literally scamming the system. And, you know, that's a lot of what DOGE has been doing, trying to use AI, use today's technology to sync up the various systems of our federal government. As you can imagine, the Treasury is spilling out hundreds of millions of checks various places in every year, and DOGE discovered that there was very little accounting of where that money was going and who was drawing on the accounts of the Treasury. And so all of this stuff is they're trying to regulate it. They're trying to put it in place. All Elon Musk has gotten for his trouble is scorn and derision and hate on the left and indifference on the right. It really, I don't know about you. I have been a big DOGE fan since the thing was announced. I am very let down by the failure to follow through on what they're doing. And to your point, it does seem like an awful lot of Republicans and Democrats in Congress have just not wanted to go there. I, by the way, on Maria's show every week, I have pressed these guys when talking about bills and spending to, you know, where is it? Where are we seeing these cuts? And nobody can kind of give me a straight answer. So I think Maria is totally right. Rick Scott is totally right to really press this. I think Americans want to know when are we going to see and where are we going to see that the results of this labor, because it has been a real labor of love. I don't know the answer.
No, you're right. I mean, to that point, Rick Grenell just a little while ago came out and said they found within the Kennedy Center, this is, we're talking about a theater, $26 million in fake revenue in 2024 and 2025. I mean, this is insane. And again, I feel, you know, there are folks like Thomas Massie, who's a contrarian, but the problem with being a contrarian all the time is when you're actually right on an issue, nobody really wants to buy into your argument. And these guys have very legitimate concerns. And we keep being told, just wait, be patient. Well, you and I both know, Liz, that when January rolls around, everybody's already going to be in 2026 campaign mode, and there's no way they're going to go in and cut all of this because they don't want to, you know, alienate voters.
I 100% agree. Again, we're not talking about legitimate arguments about Medicaid. I don't think they're legitimate, frankly, but look, you know, Josh Hawley has a different point of view on Medicaid reform than some of his colleagues. I think he's totally wrong that imposing work requirements and getting illegals off the Medicaid rolls makes all the sense in the world. Taxpayers don't want to pay for those people to be getting Medicaid. Let's get them off the roll. But we're not even talking about reforms or changes that might impact normal people's checks that they're getting in the mail and come to rely on. We're talking about out-and-out fraud. And I think, by the way, even under Biden's presidency, the General Accounting Office and various other groups pointed to hundreds of billions of dollars every year in waste and fraud coming up through the federal government and that we're paying for. And by the way, the Biden administration looked at that and a pretty hard-hitting for a government source memo saying every agency should be looking at this because this is basically outrageous. And there was a big collective yawn from the Biden group because they couldn't have cared less. I mean, who cares whether another $500 billion goes to waste this year? We're determined to spend $6.5 trillion more. So just get out of our way and let us do it. I mean, it's really shameful.
It's insane. And again, this is easy. This is red meat for the base. I mean, if you could imagine, coming around to the midterms and saying, all right, we have codified every single one of President Trump's executive orders. We've gotten rid of all the wasteful spending. Now we're ready to tackle X, Y, or Z. But they haven't done any of it. And that's, that's a troubling thing. You shared a story from our friend David Asman over at Fox, and I was stunned by this report out of the Jersey Shore where 73 people were arrested, 3 people stabbed, and they had to shut down the boardwalk over Memorial Day. And by the way, it's not just happening in New Jersey. This is happening all over the country. And he places the blame where it belongs, on a soft on crime Democrat governor.
Yeah. And, there have been, it isn't just bail reform laws and things like that, which have been in place in New York, New Jersey now for a while. It's also this softening attitude and rules about young people getting into trouble, young people creating crimes, committing crimes, and the fact that they don't want to treat them as adults. They want to put them in a separate category. And so what has that fostered in New York? It's called the Raise the Age Bill, and it was here, but it also is in Washington, D.C. and other places. It means that you have 14 and 15-year-olds now being recruited by gangs to commit robberies, commit assaults and various things, because they know those kids won't be put in jail. So the kids get sprung. Nobody is held to account for things that are happening. And it has fostered this sort of undercurrent of juvenile crime, which is just appalling. And everybody said when this bill was passed and when these rules were adopted sort of in other locales, that this exactly is what would be the upshot of it. We've seen, Todd, in malls, gangs of kids kind of coming together and creating havoc in malls and various other places. This is a problem. We don't have discipline in our schools anymore. We don't have the cops issuing sort of normal law and order requirements or rules for kids. And so guess what? They're slightly out of control. And when it turns deadly, surely somebody is going to pay attention and start to get animated about this, because it has to change.
No, well, you're absolutely right about that. And I'm old school. I'm also Southern, Liz, so I apologize ahead of time for what I'm about to say. But back when I was in school, the principal would patrol the hallways with a fiberglass paddle, and he had holes drilled in. So, you know, normally when you got paddled, Liz, you wouldn't know anything about this because you were a perfect child.
No, of course.
But I can tell you that, you know, when that paddle, normally there's a cushion of air between the backside and the paddle, but the principal drilled holes to make sure that cushion of air wasn't there. All that to say, we behaved ourselves.
Yeah. But, you know, it is really the case now that there has been, it's racial. It's the view that only black kids were sent to detention, only black kids were sent home for misbehaving, whatever. Well, okay, so now you have schools where teachers get assaulted and other kids are bringing weapons to school to defend themselves. My God, how can anybody learn in a situation like that? The answer is, of course, nobody can.
That's true.
And so, you know, it's like a downward spiral, right? Because if kids are not doing well in school, they're more likely to get into trouble. They get into trouble, and then, you know, nobody really does anything about it. So, you know, their life course can be set in a couple of years in a very bad trajectory because of this. It's not working. And Democrats really just don't seem to care. They don't care. It's strange, isn't it, Todd, that they talk about how they really care about, for example, black kids, and yet they do absolutely everything in their power to create unsafe and unproductive situations for these black kids in schools and in their neighborhoods and so forth, which just sort of undermines their future prospects. The schools is what really sets me on fire, because the hypocrisy of Democrats not wanting to institute any kind of reforms in public schools, which are routinely failing kids. In Chicago, less than a third of kids are reading at grade average. How can anybody tolerate that? Guess what? Democrats do, because they're afraid of the teachers' unions more than they care about black kids. It's really horrible.
It's terrible. It's terrible. Yeah. And I can tell you from, you know, Memphis is a majority black city, and it is shameful that the education system is failing the children here. And that's just got to change. We got to make sure kids can at least read. And you know, that seems to be a pretty low bar in my estimation. Liz, we got to leave it there. Always good hearing. You know, Marsha Blackburn comes to Memphis, but not Liz Peek. I'm bothered. Well, she is our senator. But one of these days, we've got to get you down here, Liz. I know our folks really across America love you, and I know our audience here in Memphis, Tennessee, they do as well.
Well, thank you. I would love to come.
All right. The great Liz Peek, everybody. You see her all the time on Fox and does a great job. Great writer as well. All right. Before we go to break, Manny, the trunk driver, has been on hold forever. And Manny, we appreciate you holding on. Welcome to the show. Where are you driving these days?
Head over to Phoenix on the 93 southbound.
All right. Well, Manny, what's going on? What's on your mind?
Well, this is, and I don't, you know, I'm a U.S. Marine, okay? 11-year veteran. I don't sugarcoat a darn thing. It's black and white with me. There's no gray area. These politicians, Republicans, the holdouts, the leadership, they're gonna pull their heads out of their butts and start to pass this bill. Just get it through now. They're not going to get everything they want. It's like climbing up a freaking ladder. You're not going to run up a ladder. You don't know what happens then if you do that.
Yeah, Manny, I think you're absolutely right. Did we lose Manny? Are you still with us, Manny? We may have lost Manny. He's out on the roads driving. But no, Manny, the truck driver, and he's calling us from Arizona. And look, Manny's speaking truth, ladies and gentlemen. And the reality is, there is something called compromise, which you have to do, but you also have to live up to your word. And that's all we're asking our elected members of Congress to do here. All right, we've got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. And this is really funny and somewhat terrifying. Little David Hogg, we call him Piglet on this show. Little David Hogg was catfished by our friends over at Project Veritas. That would be James O'Keefe and his great group. So it turns out that David Hogg admitted in an undercover video that who was really running the White House during the Biden administration. I want you to take a listen here.
One question for me is, like, how corrupt is the DNC if so many people knew or few people knew about Biden?
Well,
like, the president of the United States.
I mean, I think the fact of the matter is the DNC is always going to be like a campaign arm of the president, ultimately. The bigger issue was, like, the inner circle that was around Biden. That's it.
And I can't stress you enough.
Like, Joe Biden's chief of staff, like, had an enormous amount of power.
Joe Biden?
Joe Biden's chief of staff.
That was, like, an open secret at the moment. Like, I would avoid them. Like, he was scary.
What was his name?
Anthony Trump.
I've never seen him.
Exactly.
What do you mean?
He's just, like, a shadowy, like, Wizard of Oz type figure. That's what made him so, like, I knew how he looked, but I'm like, the general public wouldn't know how this man looked. But he wielded an enormous amount of power, and I can't stress to you how much power he had in the White House.
Super creepy. David Hogg, too. But, yeah, no, this guy, Bernal, this guy is crazy. So I knew that name, Anthony Bernal, because Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson wrote about this guy in the book Original Sin. And they say this guy was despised by the entire White House staff. He was like a super creepy dude, and he was Jill Biden's top aide. So anything, you know, Jill Biden loved this guy. Why am I not surprised? I'm telling you, there's something wrong with her. She's like the evil stepmother. So anyway, one longtime aide, this was in the book. One White House aide told Jake Tapper, "That guy would not be welcome at my funeral." I mean, that's how weird this dude was. And people were terrified of this guy. He considered loyalty. I'm reading from the book here. He considered loyalty to be the defining virtue and would wield that word to elevate some people, oust others at times fairly, at other times not. They would always go around and say, "Is so-and-so a Biden person?" And if they weren't, boom, they were gone. I'm telling you, there's some creepy stuff going on. There was some creepy stuff going on. All right. Just a reminder, folks, and we made this announcement at the beginning of the show. My publisher has been incredibly kind and generous, and we have set aside a certain number of books, and I think it's 500 books, just for our radio audience. These are going to go very fast. So we have provided personally signed, personally inscribed books for you, and we don't use auto pen here. No, that's Joe Biden. I actually sign, I autograph every single book, and I inscribe every single book, and we want you to get one of those. You can go right now to todstearns.com, click on the store app at the top of the page, and you'll be able to purchase an autographed copy. I will inscribe it for you personally. Again, these are going to go super, super fast, so we want you to go right away and get those, because once they're gone, they're gone. All right, hang tight, everybody. We will be right back. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, folks. Welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns radio program. By the way, Parker May is our summer intern, been working in sports for a very long time, and you're studying to be a sports broadcaster and doing a terrific job of all of that. And I'm curious to get your thoughts on a couple of big stories that are brewing in the world of sports. And the first involves the WNBA, and I don't mean to be disparaging to the female basketball players, because, you know, they do a fine job. But that being said, you know, they're out there demanding the same salaries and structures of the guys. But the reality is they're actually surviving because of the NBA. So the girls are actually getting an allowance from the boys so they can play basketball.
And that is that an unfair way of explaining it, Parker?
No, and I think you're exactly right. And I've heard the argument before of that same thing, and I heard WNBA players saying, we want the same percentage of revenue. Well, if you do the math, they would be taking a pay cut if they want the same revenue percentage. They get more revenue of the WNBA than the NBA players get of the NBA. So if you take that in perspective.
Yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense. So you've got all that going on, and they're always complaining about something. And look, here's the deal. Until Caitlin Clark came along, I mean, there really wasn't much happening within the WNBA. And there is a massive racial component to all of this, including, of course, Brittany Griner, who made a very offensive comment about Caitlin Clark, which if someone had made a comment about that about a black player, they would have gotten in trouble. I'm just saying.
No, you're exactly right. I think if the roles were reversed and Caitlin Clark said that about Brittany Griner, it might be a 5-game suspension.
So that brings me to Angel Reese, who has created a massive firestorm of controversy, right?
100%.
So she plays, who does she play for? The Chicago Sky.
Chicago Sky.
And they were playing Indiana Fever in Indianapolis. And the allegation was that people in the stands were actually chanting hateful comments. And the Gateway Pundit says the chants were, there were monkey chants. That's what they were alleged to have done. So, of course, all you know what breaks loose. The WNBA launches an investigation. People are freaking out about all of this. And it turns out that it never happened. It turned out that it was not true. And so the WNBA released a statement saying they investigated the report of racist fan behavior. And based on the information they gathered, they interviewed fans, they interviewed the team, they interviewed the arena staff, they went through all the audio, all the video, and it turned out that it did not happen.
What it looked like, there was Dave Portnoy, the Barstool guy, talked about it because he was at that game, and he said it was booing, or they were cheering when she missed a free throw. And that's what she got upset about, apparently.
So she tried to pull like a Bubba Wallace or Juicy Smollett, and it was a fake, right? I mean, she was trying to fake a hate crime. And it just seems to me when you fake a hate crime, you should be charged with an actual hate crime. I think faking a hate crime should be a hate crime. Does that make sense?
100%. And I mean, it led to her making the WNBA launch an investigation where they found absolutely nothing.
Man, though, have you seen, I mean, there are compilations of videos of what they're doing to Caitlin Clark out there. And a lot of times the refs aren't even, they're looking as it's happening and they're just like, no foul, no foul.
Never seen anything like that.
I think they're going to kill her.
100%.
It's terrible. They're trying to break her leg or they're trying to put her out of commission. And it just seems to me that's like, that's racism. And what Brittany Griner said, by the way, have you seen the videos? You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
The shirtless videos of Brittany Griner.
Is she playing in the correct league?
That's a man, man. That is a man. You're like, hey, Brittany, quick pronouns. I'm just saying, something's not right there.
No, it's not adding up over there on her side.
She could walk around topless and would not be breaking the law. That's what gets me. I'm just saying. So then there's this. So all that to say, wow, that whole league is a mess. I mean, it could be. Here's what I don't understand. Caitlin Clark coming into the league and she's being disparaged by the players because she's white. The fans are turning out in record numbers. They're packing out arenas. It looked like they were having more fun than the guys are over in the NBA. And why ruin that? Why destroy that? That's what doesn't make any sense to me.
I've been wondering that same thing her whole time in the WNBA. And you talked about it with like the racial attacks that she's gotten. And my stance on that is she's debatably the best thing that's ever happened to the WNBA. So why not celebrate that and as the whole league embrace it and be a part of growth? and not tear it down.
They're just tearing apart things that don't need to be torn apart. And that brings me to our next story. The Southeastern Conference, and they're having meetings this week and the spring meetings. And this is the headline from one newspaper, the Lufkin Daily News. The future of college sports is in the balance. And there is talk of the SEC pulling out of the NCAA. I mean, Parker, is that something that, I mean, you're a big Auburn guy. Is that something that could happen here?
It really is. And the projected timeline for that right now is about the 2028 to 2029 season, somewhere around that time. And it's really sickening because we're taking the student out of student athletes. And it started with NIL, and now it's just the money is more important than the product on the field.
Well, now they're even talking about having to, because of the nine games, is that some long-cherished, long-standing traditional games, like, for example, Tennessee, Florida, or Tennessee, Alabama, those games may not be able to be played anymore.
Yeah, it's really a mess, and there's no other way to put it.
Well, it's very disappointing, and in the world of politics, sports is a great escape, and now politics is infecting sports. This NIL thing has really been destructive, and it's just hard to get behind teams. And I feel bad for schools like the University of Memphis. You know, Penny Hardaway, they've got the makings of a great basketball program, but they cannot compete, I mean, you know, with some of the other bigger schools out there.
And that's the problem for Penny Hardaway, like you talked about. Like, they have the potential every year to be an NCAA tournament team, a Sweet 16 caliber team, but then you can never build on that when your best player gets drawn away for $3 million every season.
It's not good, not good. All right, Parker May, thank you for our little sports update there. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. What do you think about my idea? You fake a hate crime, you get charged with a hate crime. I like that idea. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right. President Trump's going at it with reporters at the White House. We'll play some audio from that here in just a moment. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us. As I mentioned, June 12th, we are having a huge celebration, a big kickoff party for my brand new book, co-written by my good friend Michelle Cox. And we want you to be a part of that. And so what we're going to do, Miss Cassie, is we're going to take the first three callers, and you will receive VIP tickets to attend our big book launch. We're going to have some of the food is actually, I'm just going to get real here. The food may be better than the book. I just want to throw that out there. It's going to be great. We have live music. We're going to have some incredible jazz. And it is going to be a great time. We're expecting about between 150 to 200 people. We want to keep it somewhat intimate, but it's going to be a fun night. And we would love for you and your family to join us. It is a family-friendly event. But the first three callers, you will get VIP tickets. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And we'll be getting your information, and you and your family will be joining us at the big book launch party, which is coming up on June the 12th, Thursday, June 12th, here in Memphis, Tennessee. All right. This is a crazy story from U.S. News and World Report. A female passenger has been charged with child abuse for attacking a child who had called her Fat and Miss Piggy. This happened on a flight from Disney World, according to airport police. WFTV got the police report. Although the exact nature of the relationship between Christy Crampton and the boy was not clear, they were part of a group returning home to Maryland from their Disney trip when she was arrested at Orlando International Airport. Crampton had been charged with child abuse for attacking the child who had called her Fat and Miss Piggy on the flight home. Crampton started swinging at the child just before takeoff when he told Crampton that she was too fat to sit in her seat. She punched him and then hit him with a water bottle before slamming the child's head into the airplane window as he tried to block her blows. The pilot called police for help, and Crampton was taken into custody at the gate. In her defense, Crampton told police the child was, quote, very rude and disrespectful during the Disney trip. Now, I am looking at a mugshot of Miss Piggy, and I will say the child may not have been terribly off on the description here. But again, you can't be calling an adult that. You can't be doing that. And by the way, where are the parents? That's what I want. Where are my mom and dad? And you have to love it. The local TV report actually included a photograph of Miss Piggy to see if there is, in fact, a comparison. You can't make this stuff up, folks. I'm just telling you. So she was charged with felony child abuse. This is a big deal. And parents, or look, adults, you can't go around hitting children that don't belong to you. But I will say this, back in the day, I keep going back to the good old days of the 1970s and 80s. I will tell you that by and large, children minded their manners and they respected their adults. Does anybody remember a lot of our audience, you guys, you grew up during that particular time, right? That was your era of growing up. And I don't know about your parents, but I can assure you that our parents made sure that all of us Starnes kids were very well behaved when we went out for example, Sunday dinner at the Piccadilly at the Southland Mall in Whitehaven, Tennessee. I'm just telling you, that's how it was. But nowadays, they're just raising kids to be hellions, and it's sad. And these kids, I mean, yeah, it's horrible that some kid called you, you know, a fat Miss Piggy. But the response to that or the correct reaction is to go join a gym, not beat a kid senseless. That's the job of the parent. I'm just saying. Parker, were you a well-behaved child growing up?
I would like to think so.
All right. So your parents, your parents like pull you by the ear or something when you were a child.
Definitely did not get pulled by the ear.
Oh, really? I got pulled by the ear a time or two. But the thing is, you learn. I mean, that's the great thing about kids, right? I mean,
100%. You definitely learn from your mistakes from time to time.
That's it. I can't even imagine being a coach in today's world. My great uncle, Bunny Bolin, Uncle Bunny, as we called him. No, this was Uncle Chico. Uncle Chico. He was a, what are you laughing at? These are my people. Uncle Chico was one of the top high school football coaches in South Carolina. As a matter of fact, he's in the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame. And if you go to Travelers Rest High School, the football stadium is actually named in his honor. It's Chico Bolin Stadium. He's the most famous person in our family. And so anyway, Uncle Chico, when he came back from the war, he got shot up at Iwo Jima. He got all fixed back up and went to go play basketball at Furman University. And we've got a couple of gymnasiums that are named after family members there. But anyway, he went to school there, played basketball. Then he started looking for a coaching job, and the high school was looking for a football coach. So they didn't have a football team. It's back in the just after the war, World War II. And so they said, Chico, would you like? And they called him Chico because he wore Hawaiian shirts. That is, it looked like he was from Mexico. You could say stuff like that back then. So anyway, Uncle Chico said, here's the deal. I will create a football program for this high school, but you got to let me run it like the Marine Corps, which was great if you're the coach, but if you're the players. And sure enough, to this day, the high school football team there is known as the Travelers Rest Devil Dogs, and that's their mascot. I mean, that's, you know, Uncle Chico created all of it, and he ran that football program like a boot camp. And it was insane. You wouldn't be able to do that these days. I mean, a player got out of line and got into your face, you know, he put you on the ground. I mean, that's just how you did things back in the day. But what I found interesting about that is a lot of people would not do well in a situation that aggressive. But, you know, it's interesting. Uncle Chico was talking to my dad about it. He retired and went on to run the golf course. He was the golf pro at the course there at Furman. And he said, you know, a lot of these young men came to him. A lot of them had no dads. They had no father figure in their lives. And really, they were looking for They wanted to be a part of something. They were looking for that discipline, that structure in their lives. And that's what they responded to. Now, Uncle Chico died a few years ago and lived a great life. And he and his wife never had kids. But he always looked at his football team as his kids, his sons. And he was a deacon at the First Baptist Church there in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. I know many of you have probably driven through Travelers Rest on your way to Greenville. And Uncle Chico, when they had his funeral, they had, and that's a, it's a not a very big church, maybe 400 or 500 people. They must have had 2,000 people show up for Uncle Chico's funeral. And it really, it was really moving for us as family members because we knew a very different side of Uncle Chico. You know, I always knew him as this just a fun-loving, you know, great uncle. And then I went to one of his football practices, and I was hiding under the stands. Honest to goodness, I'm like, oh, my God, who is that guy? But these men, and many of them at that point had gray hair, but they had served on those football played on those football teams. And to a person, you know, they got up and they testified about the impact that, you know, Uncle Chico had. He was a man's man, and I think we're missing that. And I think that's one of the things that really saddens me about college athletics is that those are still formulative years, right? You're still, I mean, yeah, but we're talking about 18, 19-year-old kids. They're still learning what it means to be a man. I mean, what is it, when do our brains finally get to their peak state? Is it 26, 27 years old?
Yeah, 26 or 25.
Yeah, so you're still growing, and you're learning, and you're maturing, and you want – you want your sons in an environment where they're going to have a coach that's going to speak truth into them and help them become that man. But now it's all about the money. I mean, that's all it's about. And in the sense of that becoming a man, the fans, they start responding as well because they're watching these young men grow into men over the course of their four-year career at these colleges. We're in danger of losing all of that in the country if we don't watch it. All right. There was a point to all of this, and I can't remember what I was originally talking about. I got off on a tangent. We do have to take a break. We're waiting for Marsha Blackburn. She should be here in the next hour. Hang tight, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the big show. And this is going to be a big hour. We are expecting Senator Marsha Blackburn to join us sometime this hour. She is right now getting a tour of Elon Musk's big AI data center, which just opened here in Memphis, Tennessee. And it is a pretty exciting thing that's happening in the world of tech. We know Google, Amazon also making big announcements as the Mid-South is set to become the Silicon Valley of the South, which is pretty amazing. We've been following a crazy story out of Seattle, Washington. We talked about this last night on my Newsmax TV show. My next guest was on Newsmax, and here to bring us up to speed on what's happening there, Pastor Russell Johnson from Seattle. Pastor, good to have you with us today.
Hey, good to talk to you, Todd. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right. Well, I want to, before we explain what happened last night, I want you to explain what happened that led to the protest at City Hall yesterday.
Yeah, we had scheduled an outdoor worship event at Cal Anderson Park in downtown Seattle for last Saturday. And although Cal Anderson wasn't our first choice or even our second choice, we had tried to pull permits for other places based on the feedback and the recommendation from the city. They suggested that we do it at Cal Anderson, so we did. It was kind of like a community fun family day. There was free bike giveaways, free groceries being given away, free haircuts, face painting, you name it. And then later in the afternoon, it incorporated like a worship element and also people sharing their testimonies on just different ways God has helped them in difficult seasons of their life, getting out of prison, rehab, getting off drugs, things of that nature. And at time, a couple hundred Antifa guys came out, swarmed the event, and started physically attacking and assaulting the attendees of the worship event. Not only that, but they attacked the police who were there to help provide protection. Police officers ended up in the hospital. People who were there to worship ended up bloodied and bruised. They threw water balloons filled with urine at folks who were just, you know, being punished for the high crime of worshiping God in a public park.
Let me get this straight. There were water balloons filled with urine, and they were throwing those at the Christians?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So Pastor, the mayor spoke out about this. Bruce Harrell is his name. And it seemed to me, with the mayor's reaction, that he was blaming you guys for all of the violence and was very upset over some LGBT-related stuff, especially when it comes to the transgender community. And he seemed to insinuate that you guys basically got what you asked for.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly what he said in his press statement following our event, that we were, you know, fascist provocateurs, and that everything that happened to us was not only our fault, but it was well-deserved, because we were talking about values that are against what he called the, quote, values of Seattle. And you know, being in a place like the Pacific Northwest, unfortunately, you know, we're just kind of used to taking it on the chin a little bit anytime you dare to be a conservative outside the four walls of your own house or church. But with the level of physical violence, and then for it to be followed up by a statement from, you know, the leading political figure in the city saying that this is your fault, and that in the future he's going to deny permits to people of religious faith who would like to hold outdoor events in the city of Seattle. We obviously felt like that was a bridge too far, so we drew a line in the sand. And over the next 36 hours, rallied a couple thousand like-minded people of faith, and also people who just believe in the First Amendment, to take the rally to the front steps of City Hall.
And, I mean, just to illustrate how big of a deal this is, it's already captured the attention of the Trump administration. Dan Bongino, our deputy director of the FBI, announced yesterday that they plan to fully investigate the allegations of targeted violence against religious groups at the Seattle concert. We also understand Harmeet Dhillon is getting involved as well, and the mayor could himself be in trouble because some of the comments that came out of City Hall, Pastor, violate the law.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like the worst exercise and how to terminate your entire political career in under 24 hours of, you know, completely ridiculous and intellectually dishonest public statements. I mean, it's jaw-dropping. When I saw that press release from our mayor, I had to double-check that it wasn't coming from a fake X account. I couldn't believe what I was reading. You know, I wasn't expecting like a full-throated statement of support for our first right from our left-wing lunatic mayor, but the fact that he victim-blamed people of faith and said that we got what we deserved was just so beyond the pale that it was shocking. And, you know, what was crazy about our rally last night at City Hall was that we didn't just have conservatives and people of faith joining us. We had a lot of people who don't share our faith and don't vote the same way that we do, who were so aghast and outraged at the mayor's incendiary and really illegal comments that they joined us on the front steps of City Hall as well, calling for either a retraction and apology or his resignation. But, you know, make no mistake, Mayor Bruce Harrell has nuked his own political career, and he's running for re-election. His support has cratered. Even people on his own side are taking shots at him. The Seattle Police Guild has called for his resignation. Like you said, the Trump administration is investigating him. And in fact, Dan Bongino made that announcement on Twitter halfway through our rally at City Hall, and we announced it live to the crowd.
Wow.
And the crowd just went nuts. And we were that event as well. Hundreds of these petulant, oversized adult children who cosplay as tough guys on the streets, who have been coddled by a left-wing administration in Seattle that provides political cover for their domestic terrorism, showed up in the streets and physically assaulted grandmas and grandpas, moms with young children, detransitioners, people of faith. Not one person on our side was charged, cited, or arrested for any type of violence because we don't respond in like manner. But they had eight different people that were arrested on their side and a lot more that should have been arrested if the police force wasn't undermined and understaffed by the mayor of Seattle. And it's just on full display. Like, even people who are not conservatives are looking at the videos and going, there is no way to justify this behavior. And, I mean, it was violent. I mean, we got people with bloodied faces, beat up, punched, kicked, elbowed. We were told that there were 1,000 people who couldn't even get into the rally because by the time that they got down to City Hall, it was so violent that the police had cordoned off the event. And that the fact that these groups of individuals are allowed to operate in Seattle, you know, without any repercussion should be a crime. And I'm looking forward to the Trump administration throwing their full weight behind an investigation of Mayor Bruce Harrell in City Hall.
Well, Pastor, look, a couple of things here. Number one, I'm glad that you guys took a stand and I watched the videos, nothing but respectful. You were speaking truth to the culture, and we need more pastors doing that. We need more Christians doing that. It is completely unacceptable what happened. And for the mayor to come out and to somehow, you know, victim shame and blame is just beyond me. And I have no doubt the Trump administration is going to take care of that. But I noticed that even on my feeds, I was getting reaction from several atheists who were just as outraged over all of this. I mean, it really was that blatant. And we're so glad that you guys had the folks turning out yesterday. And I'm with you. I think the mayor has pretty much cooked his goose there. So, Pastor, where can people go if they want to get more information about you and the great ministries you guys have out there in Seattle?
Yeah, on social media, I'm at Russell B. Johnson. The name of our church is the Pursuit NW, stands for Northwest. We got three campuses in the Pacific Northwest region. I was born and raised in Seattle. And here, this is our city. These are our streets. And we're taking a stand against Antifa thugs and liberal legislators.
Pastor, thank you again for coming on my Newsmax show. Last night was a great interview, and we appreciate you coming on the radio program today. Pastor Russell Johnson out of Seattle. Pastor, good luck to you.
Thanks, boss. We'll talk soon.
All right. There you go. What a great story, and great in the sense that Christians are standing up and they're taking a stand, and that's what we need to do. All right. Got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, speaking of Newsmax, have you watched? I mean, it is so much fun. It's really, it's something to behold. Newsmax, by the way, just went public on the New York Stock Exchange, and they're now listed on the big board. Millions of Americans like you are now joining our news revolution. Reuters, by the way, says Newsmax, one of the top 12 news brands in America. President Trump says it is terrific. 40 million Americans, they go to Newsmax. Audience growing 50% since the same time last year. Millions are really making the switch to Newsmax. And if you would like to be a Newsmax share owner, well, just call your advisor or get more info at NewsmaxInvest.com. Stand with Newsmax today for a strong America. We'll be right back. All right. Any of you folks remember Sister Act? That was when Whoopi was actually cool. Whoopi Goldberg, she played a nun. And the ladies, they sang and they danced and they were very good. I mean, as nuns go, you wouldn't think that nuns could, you know, do R&B in the church house, but by golly, they did. And it was a very wonderful set of movies. What is it by Sister Act 14? I don't know. It got a little bit old, but one and two were pretty, you know, they were pretty darn good. And this is coming from a Baptist. So anyway, there's another group of nuns, and many people are comparing them to Sister Act. These nuns are from Brazil, and they went viral for going beatboxing on TV. And it really is more of a visual. I wish I could describe this to you, but the nuns were, they were kicking it. They were wearing the blue skirts and the little nun's habit there. And then the priest, have you guys seen, Parker, you've seen the video. You know what I'm talking about here.
It is unique.
What was up with the priest? He was wearing like an Under Armour shirt. Did you notice that? It was like weird.
You would not expect that.
No, it was a little too form-fitting for a priest.
100%.
I'm just going to say. A Baptist preacher wouldn't have been able to, well, they don't make Under Armour that size. All that to say, it was just weird. So they're on TV. It was like, it's a Catholic TV channel, but it was sort of like Community Access. So you really don't know. The production quality was not all that great. Anyway, we've got, this is Sister Marizel and her friend. We don't know what the friend's name is, but here's Sister Marizel.
Vocação.
Vocação,
vocação,
rapaz, waka, que waka, é waka, isso? Waka.
Gente, é um show de talento.
I have no idea what they were saying. I went to a Church of God school, so I should be able to interpret, but I cannot. What was that? You know, here's the thing. A little pitchy. But again, I'm not going to judge. You know, it is what it is. The priest, though, sort of like took center stage. And I really think he tried to upstage the nuns. I don't think that was very polite. I'm just saying. So so people are going bonkers over this. They're pointing out that, and rightfully so, they say that the nuns and the priest, they were once teenagers and they loved music. And it's great that they're showing off their musical talents. Another person said, fun is not a sin. No, but hitting the wrong notes is. You know, you got to make sure you got to hit the notes. So Jenna Bush Hager was on the Today Show and shared the clip. And they're calling them the hip-hop nuns, Nun DMC. Oh, that's clever. That was back when, that kind of hip-hop was cool back in the day. So there you have it. Real life from Catholic TV, a beatboxing nun and her holy backup dancer. Huh. We actually, years ago, I was a member of a church and they had a dance team. They called themselves the Holy Rollers, and it was really a little weird. I'm just going to tell you, it was a little weird. And, many churches, of course, and I'm one of these guys, I like if it's a choir, if it's a band, as long as it's good, I'm good. You know, as long as you're hitting the right notes. But I remember when I was growing up, we went to a small Baptist church in the country down in North Mississippi. And it was one of those churches where they would have a soloist sing the offertory, and you knew it was going to be rough when the person got up and said, y'all pray for me. That usually meant we need to be praying for ourselves. God have mercy on us. Sister Betsy, that was beautiful. Just you brought tears to my eyes. Sister, just tears. I'm still weeping. And they're not tears of joy, Sister Betsy. I'll never forget years ago, I had a sweet aunt, and she was the organist at a Methodist church. And they had a bit of a scandal. One of the children had come back from a career at Dollywood as a backup dancer. And he was a very gifted singer and wanted to sing an offertory there at the Methodist church. And nobody thought to ask what the song was until he got up and tried to sing songs out of Les Mis. And apparently you can't do Broadway show tunes during a Methodist church service. So that's a big no-no, apparently. So there you go. The Brazilian Beatbox Nuns. You never know what you're going to find on this program. All right, folks, hang tight. We have Senator Marsha Blackburn just pulled up to the bunker, and we'll be having her on next. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I want to say hello to all of our great friends out in Salem, Oregon, radio station KYKN, and also Houston, Texas, Patriot Talk 920. Great to have you guys with us as well today. Well, as promised, we're always excited to have our friend, Senator Marsha Blackburn, also my senator from the great state of Tennessee, and you're in Memphis today. Senator, welcome back to Memphis.
Oh, I am having such a great day here, and come into the studio, and they've got lemon bars and coffee, so I'm a happy camper.
When a Baptist owns a radio station, people are getting fed, so that's just the way it works.
So true.
So you were here, though, for several reasons, and one of them involves Elon Musk, and we're really excited about the potential for turning the Mid-South into the Silicon Valley of the South, and Elon Musk is playing a huge role in that.
Well, indeed he is, and I like to refer to it as the Digital Delta.
I love that. Okay, that's better. Digital Delta.
Yes, I think that when we talk about what is taking place here with XAI and their data center that is here, I was over there working this morning and looking at the progress that is there. State Senator Brent Taylor joined me as I was over there working this morning. But one of the things that is so important is building out the workforce. And what XAI has done is to hire locally. They've got about 320 employees over there now. And they've been teaching that workforce how to actually do all of this building the servers and racking all of these servers and components in the way they are doing. It's really quite impressive, the infrastructure they're putting in place to benefit the Mid-South. And, of course, Memphis is also quite impressive and good for the community.
I think it's huge for the community. And, of course, I was born and raised here. And, you know, I love this city. I lived in Nashville, and Nashville's a great town. Lived in Franklin for a time. But there's something about West Tennessee and the authenticity, I think. You know, it's an old river town. There's really no pretense when it comes to Memphis, Tennessee. And yet, unfortunately, we're in the headlines for all the wrong reasons and crime out of control. I know Kash Patel, you know, announcing to the nation that we're the homicide capital of the nation right now. What do you hear from your constituents here in this part of the state?
Everyone is concerned about crime, and it's one of the reasons I've worked so closely with Pam Bondi and Kash Patel, both of whom came before the Senate Judiciary Committee, where I sit, for their confirmation. And when Director Patel came to me for that first meeting before his hearing, I showed him the crime stats that were coming out of Shelby County, where Memphis is the per capita homicide capital of the country. And he has been very committed. He is working with me and Senator Hagerty, And we are bringing an emphasis, and the FBI is putting additional resources, investigators, personnel into Shelby County so that we can break apart these gangs and we can get crime back under control here.
It's fascinating to see what's happening in this city now with a really newly energized Republican Party, Worth Morgan, who is the county chairman now, and the growth of the Republicans. I think they started with 54 members last year, now almost 400 members, the last numbers I saw. And it's exciting to see that message getting out there. But what is it going to take for Republicans to gain ground here in the western part of the state?
And we have the right message, and people are so encouraged by what they see happening at the federal level, at the state level, and more people are raising their hand and saying, I want to run for office, or I want to work on a campaign or volunteer for a campaign. And results end up yielding more and better good results. And that is what you are seeing. I like the fact that people have energy. And when you look at all of the suburban counties, when you look at West Tennessee as a region, you know, Todd, look at the growth that's taking place here. We've talked about XAI. We've got Blue Oval City up the road. We've got SK. We've got the Naval Cavitation Project that's over at the Port of Memphis. All sorts of exciting things that are going to build good jobs, not for today only, but for the future and future generations. I think it's a great time.
We have Senator Marsha Blackburn with us. And before we talk about the big, beautiful bill, I know there's been a lot of talk about you possibly running for governor of the state of Tennessee. How are those contemplations going? Any big announcements coming?
No big announcements right now, but indeed we are seriously considering. And I think it's a great time to consider leading a conservative state that can be our nation's conservative leader. You know, President Trump every day is sending power, authority, money back to the states and the people. And whether it's health care, education, energy, regulation, benefits, all of that is going back to the states. And Tennessee is a well-governed, well-led state, and we are positioned to be the nation's top innovator.
What's the message, though? Here in Tennessee, for example, you've got Memphis Shelby County Schools just voted last night that they're going to basically thumb their nose at the White House. They're going to be educating any child, no matter of their immigration status. You've got the mayor of Nashville, who is basically declaring war on ICE. I know that Congressman Andy Ogles had a big press conference about that a few days ago. What is your response to, you know, these local leaders in Tennessee and other cities around the country that are defying the president and these executive orders?
And indeed, looking at these cities that are defying those orders is something that the House is doing, and I've requested that we do it in the Senate also. And it is important that we abide by the rule of law. And the law clearly states that you cannot harbor people that have illegally entered the country. And people that have orders of deportation that have been filed against them need to be deported. And to all of these mayors, it is important that we stop illegal immigration. It is important that people come here the right way and that they abide by the rule of law. And you know what is so interesting, Todd? A few days ago, when there was an article about the defiance coming out of the mayor's office in Nashville, there was an article also that was talking about the 116 people that had taken their oath of citizenship. And one of those new citizens had said, it is so vital to be able to come here to have the American dream, but you have to come here the right way through the legal process.
Exactly.
And abide by the rule of law. And that was their message to people that were trying to come in illegally and then get in the queue ahead of them.
So they get it. Even the newcomers, they get
do.
It.
They do, indeed.
Let's talk about Doge. Senator Rick Scott was on with Maria Bartiromo today, and they went back and forth. He says right now he's a no vote. Ron Johnson out of Wisconsin. What is it going to take to get the president's big, beautiful bill through the Senate?
Yes, and the president and I discussed this some on Monday when we chatted Monday afternoon. I fully believe that we will get there. It's going to take us a couple of weeks. One of the things, the House had $1.5 trillion in cuts in their document. The Senate is going for $2 trillion in spending reductions. These are savings for the taxpayer. We believe that well-bodied, able-bodied adults should have work requirements to get health care, Medicaid benefits. We want to root out all the waste, fraud, and abuse that is taking place in Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. We want to root out improper payments. We want to require people to go back to work in these offices, show up, do their job. And addressing those inefficiencies and inaccuracies is really important so that we save taxpayers money.
My philosophy from day one has always been whatever Donald Trump wants, he gets. He got a mandate. He nearly got shot in the head for us, so he gets what he wants.
That's right. His agenda.
Yeah, it may not be what I want. You know, yeah, there are some things that I wish weren't in there, but that's what politics, there is compromise in politics.
That is, and nobody's going to get everything that they want. We're hard at work on it. I have the bill that eliminates income tax on Social Security. We do believe that's going to make it into the bill. Making the tax cuts permanent is something that we intend to do, the 2017 tax law. If we don't do that, it is a $4 trillion tax hike on the American people. So we're either going to have the largest tax hike in history, or the largest tax cut. Pick your side.
And I know Elon is making some headlines. He did an interview with CBS Sunday Morning. It'll air June 1st. And one of the clips going around, he's disappointed, says you can call it big, you can call it beautiful, but you can't call it both. He's disappointed that the Doge cuts aren't in there. But that's a misunderstanding of what you guys can do, because there is a Senate rule, and we've been trying to tell our audience about that. But tell us about that rule about discretionary spending.
Yes, indeed. We are not allowed to put those Doge cuts into the budget bill. They have to run separately in a rescission bill. Now, we have asked the White House, the request to remove the spending has to come from them to us. We've asked them several times to go ahead and send us a package of those cuts, because we can pass those on a 51 vote margin, just like we can pass the reconciliation bill on a 51 vote margin. But you cannot put those cuts inside the reconciliation bill. They can run in tandem. And that is what we're trying to do, is to line up those cuts so that your reconciliation bill, which is the budget, and your rescission bill, which is the spending reductions, are going to be moving at about the same time. Now, we think that if we can get this budget down to $6.5 trillion, which is the Senate goal, then next year we can hit the president's goal of a balanced budget, which would be a budget a little over $5 trillion, because we're going to continue to claw back this spending and draw a red line through a lot of line items and get those spending numbers down.
And as Senator Scott rightly pointed out, the House, they've got to start codifying, you know, the president's executive orders. You guys can't act until they do.
That's exactly right. And we need them to pick up their pace.
Yeah, well said. And I think they're getting that message. I hope they are.
Yes.
But again, this is all, you know, I'm a clock watcher, Senator, on radio. That's what we do. But the reality is I'm also a clock watcher in politics. And there will come a time when the attention will start turning towards the midterms. And that's when the legislation comes to a grinding halt.
You're right about that. And what we want to do is get as much of this done this summer as we possibly can. I think before July 4th, we will have the president's big, beautiful bill to him for his signature. And then we can come back in the fall. We can do another reconciliation and another rescission package. This time next year, we can do the third reconciliation and a third rescission package. I've even recommended that the White House send us rescissions every month, and because we could pass a rescission bill every month, and we should do that.
I like that. Yeah, and that's the kind of pace we need, and you're right. Yes. We've got to pick up the pace in the House. All right, Senator, always good having you in Memphis. We should have you on for the whole show one of these days. But
I would love to do that.
Maybe we could do it in your kitchen, though. We were talking about that downstairs.
Listen,
so you're a big chef.
Yes, I love to cook, and you know it's and I love to garden, and this is such a fun time of year for me because I get tomatoes in the freezer and you know, get some fruit and veggies put up, and certainly appreciate the opportunity to do that.
We have a lot of farmers that listen to us in North Mississippi, and I go down to the farmers market in Hernando,
yes,
which is not far, and I'm just waiting for the call when they have the Mississippi red tomatoes, and I'll be making
those
a beeline.
The best.
They are the best. Yeah. Senator, always great seeing you. Thank you for the great work you're doing up on Capitol Hill.
Thank you.
All right, folks, have to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Coined a new term called the taco trade. They're saying Trump always chickens out on your tariff threats, and that's why markets are higher this week. What's your response to that?
I kick out?
Chicken out.
Oh, and then I chicken out. I've never heard that. You mean because I reduced China from 145% that I set down to 100 and then down to another number? And I said you have to open up your whole country, and because I gave the European Union a 50% tax tariff, and they called up and they said, please, let's meet right now. Please, let's meet right now. And I said, okay, I'll give you till June 9. I actually asked them, I said, what's the date? Because they weren't willing to meet. And after I did what I did, they said, we'll meet anytime you want. And we have an end date of July 9th. You call that chickening out? Because we have $14 trillion now invested, committed to investing when Biden didn't have practically anything. Biden, this country was dying. You know, we have the hottest country anywhere in the world. I went to Saudi Arabia. The king told me. He said, you got the hottest we have the hottest country in the world right now. 6 months ago, this country was stone cold dead. We had a dead country. We had a country people didn't think it was going to survive. And you ask a nasty question like that. It's called negotiation. You set a number. And if you go down, you know, if I set a number at a ridiculous high number and I go down a little bit, you know, a little bit, they want me to hold that number, 145% tariff. Even I said, man, that really got up. You know how it got? Because of fentanyl and many other things, and you added it up. I said, where are we now? We're at 145%. I said, whoa, that's high. That's high. They were doing no business whatsoever, and they were having a lot of problems. We were very nice to China. I don't know if they're going to be nice to us, but we were very nice to China. And in many ways, I think we really helped China tremendously because, you know, they were having great difficulty because we were basically going cold turkey with China. We were doing no business because of the tariff, because it was so high. But I knew that. But don't ever say what you said. That's a nasty question.
Go ahead.
You got to love it. It's a mean, nasty question. I love President Trump. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Always great to have Senator Marsha Blackburn in town. And look, she has got a lot of irons in the fire, but she is a fierce conservative warrior, and she is working hard for this nation and for the Trump America First agenda. And you heard her say, "We have got to light a fire in the House of Representatives, and they have got to start pushing." I know we've got folks wanting to weigh in. Folks, we're gonna light up. We're gonna open up the phone lines tomorrow. It's been a crazy day, a lot happening, and we're gonna get to your calls tomorrow. My great apologies there. Don't forget, head over to ToddStearns.com. We have the clock is ticking, a chance for you to get signed and inscribed copies of Star Spangled Blessings. We want you to have a copy of that. You can go right now to ToddStearns.com, click on our store, and get a copy. We'll see you tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. You be good, America.